ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14, verses 33 and 34. 43 and 44. Does it come up? That's the thing. Ekasminapi hatebte Praneśam chantaratmanaha Krishna Maya Ratajanam Kansardam Me Nire Ripaktaha Shanardam Me Nire Bhaktaha Ekashmin One Api Although, ete, having passed, abde, year, prana isham, the Lord of their lives, cha, antara, without, atmanaha, of themselves, Krishna, of Lord Krishna, maya, of the illusory potency, Ahataha, covered, Rajan, O King, Shana Ardam, half a moment, Menire, they thought, Arbaktaha, the boys. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhu. Did not Srila Prabhupada finish this leela?
After 13 chapter.
Okay. Translated by the assembled devotees. O King, although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord of their very lives, they had been covered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency and thus considered that year merely half a moment. Responsively, O King, although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord of their very lives, they had been covered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency and thus considered that year merely half a moment. There is no purport to this verse. We're continuing with the next verse. Kim navish marantita mayah mohita chetasaha Yan Mohitam Jagat Sarvam Abhikshanam Ritam Makaham. Translation: what indeed is not forgotten by those whose minds are bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency? By that potency of Maya, this entire universe remains in perpetual bewilderment. And in this atmosphere of forgetfulness, one can understand his own identity. No one can understand his own identity. Purport. It is clearly stated here that the entire universe is in bewilderment. Thus, even great devotees like Indra and Brahma are not exempt from this principle of forgetfulness. Since Lord Krishna exercised his internal illusory potency over his cowherd boyfriends and calves, it is not at all astonishing
class now. You can resume now.
Haribo. Prabhuji, I'd rather not have it.
2 minutes,
It is clearly stated here that the entire universe is bewildered. Thus, even great demigods like Indra and Brahma, are not exempt from the principle of forgetfulness. Since Lord Krishna exercised his internal illusory potency over his cowherd boyfriends and calves, it is not at all astonishing that for 1 year they could not remember their position. Indeed, by the Lord's external illusionary potency, the conditioned souls forget their existence not only for 1 year, but for many billions and billions of years as they transmigrate throughout the kingdom of ignorance called this material world. Namaham Vishnu Varaya Krishna Bastari Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskacha Dizatarne Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam that the entire purpose of this material creation is to induce remembrance within the jiva of one's original transcendental position. All of the shastras, of which there are many, many thousands, all deal with the same subject matter, culminating in Prayojana, that the jiva is reconstituted in his original position. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that the Prayojana, the intrinsic nature of the jiva, is one of prem. So towards this conclusion of prem, towards this conclusion of prem, this is the purpose of this material creation. Unfortunately, the jiva soul gets bewildered. He gets bewildered by forgetting his position within relationship to Krishna and assuming a position of lordship, of enjoying his material senses, of enjoying within the material world. This is the root cause of his forgetfulness and his bewilderment. By one's intellect, one may be able to conclude that the source of everything is Brahman. This is an intellectual process, but one will not be able to understand the nature of any of the rasas with the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless one has the mercy of the devotees. Otherwise, it is not possible. So there are many intellectual people in this world. There are many people who have won Nobel Prize. There are many scientists who can do amazing things with rockets and space travel. There are many people who have done amazing things with software, in which we have created social media and so many things. There are many intelligent people. And some of those intelligent people could apply themselves to the process of self-realization, and some of them could conclude that it is all coming from Brahman. But it is not possible to understand bhakti. It is not possible to understand our supreme nature unless one has the mercy of the devotees. So this Brahma Vimohana Lila
is one of bewilderment. Brahma became bewildered. There are three chapters devoted to this, the stages of his bewilderment, the pastime, how he became bewildered. And many of our acharyas have written at length commentaries on this. There are many commentaries. One time, one devotee, a sannyasi, he came to Vrindavan. It was out of season. It wasn't the festival season. It was more into the summer. It was unusual for people to come. So on the morning walk, Srila Prabhupada, he looked at him. He motioned, "Yes, why are you here? What do you have to say?" The devotee pulled from his book bag. He pulled a magazine, an American science magazine. And there was a fold-out section. It folded out to 8 sections, big fold-out section. And he held it and he said, "Srila Prabhupada," he said, "the scientists are saying now they're going to embark on decoding the DNA. And he says they will be able to identify different parts of the DNA which give rise to different emotions. Even they say they will identify the section of the DNA, the coding, which gives rise to a religious experience. That it is chemically induced, genetically induced." He says, "Srila Prabhupada, how should we reply to this?" Srila Prabhupada had listened patiently and then he just looked away. He continued chanting. He said, "What does it matter what they say? What can they understand of Krishna's creation with their pea-sized brain?" So this bewilderment is part and parcel of the jiva's conditioned nature. One time on a walk, the temple president here, he was a sannyasi, he asked Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, does the acharya necessarily need to be a pure devotee?" And Prabhupada looked at him. He said, "Why are you asking this question? What?" So immediately he could see Srila Prabhupada was not pleased with the question. And so he wanted to avert blame for the question to someone else. He said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada," he said, "Nitai has said this." And Prabhupada, he said, "Who is this Nitai? I have not heard some Nitai making commentary." He said, "Who is this Nitai?" He said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, it's your disciple Nitai. And Prabhupada, he said, "He is a rascal." He said, "Simply, he has read a few books and now he thinks he is the acharya." He said, "The correct understanding, the correct purport is that even great devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, they can become subjected to the Lord's illusory potency. So what to speak of me? So therefore, my dear Lord, let me pray that I can continually take shelter of your lotus feet to be fixed in my original position so that I'm not subject to this bewilderment." Vihamana, this illusion, this bewilderment, is mentioned throughout the Puranas as being both the agency of Mahamaya, and the work of Yogamaya. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 1, verse 62, this is taken from the Vigadma Madhava, 517, which was a seven-act drama. Radha says, "My dear friend, the flute, you appear to have been born in a good family. You are simple and straight. You are not crooked. So why have you taken initiation in this dangerous mantra that enchants the gopis?" The word vihomana was used for enchants. He said, "Gopangana gana vihomana mantra diksha." So Yogamaya often is used to bewilder the devotees, but this bewilderment is to heighten the rasa with Krishna, the loving exchanges with Krishna. The Brajbasis, being unaware that Krishna has the full potency of Narayan, this is because of Yogamaya. But in the material world, Prabhupada says, what to speak of 1 year, the living entity is bewildered for billions and billions of years. So this bewilderment of billion and billions of years, this is our doing because of our nature, because of our attitude. In one class, Srila Prabhupada said, the living entity is so stubborn. He said he refuses, Prabhupada emphasized, refuses to surrender to Krishna. There have been many commentaries on this Leela of bewilderment of Brahma from this section of Bhagavatam. And because there are many, many points covered, it is very, very subtle. There are many, many different shades of understanding and different points to discuss. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 7, Krishna, he says, "Yada yada hi dharmasya." He said he advanced again and again to annihilate the miscreants and to give pleasure to the devotees. In the previous chapter, Agasura, he was a demon. He was the younger brother of Putana. He came to disturb the devotees, tried to destroy Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on this. He said, "Agasura, he represents cruelty and violence which have arisen, which have been born from envy." So Bhaktivinoda, he points out that us aspiring devotees, aspiring to reunite with Krishna, aspiring to leave this material world, aspiring to end this cycle of samsara, we should be very careful in our dealings with others. We should try to cultivate saintly qualities. Sanatan Goswami, he comments in the delight that Krishna gives in this Leela. He said he gives delights to the elderly gopis, to the cows and calves, to the younger gopis, and also to Lord Brahma. Sanatana Goswami, he gives us the understanding that the cows and the calves that Lord Brahma stole weren't actually Krishna's associates. But Krishna mystically, he created a Maya set of devotees and calves, just like Sita, Ravan, he wasn't able to take Sita. So by the same agency, he thought he had. And then there were the original calves and boys, which were put into slumber. And then there was the duplicate ones that Krishna created. So this is very, very intricate and very technical if we think about it. For example, it's stated, Sanatana Goswami states that when Krishna assumed the forms of the boys, a whole year passed. So in this year, they were growing bit by bit. So anyone who's a parent knows there's a difference between a five-year-old and a six-year-old, the amount that they grow. Just outside where I live, there's little puppies being born. There's eight puppies. And every day I see them getting bigger, visibly getting bigger and stronger every single day. So Krishna, he arranged that the boys that were hidden, still they grew. So then again, when they came, there was no... It's if you ponder the intricacies of achieving this, it's very, very amazing. So Krishna had... Prabhupada had said, with their pea-sized brain, what can the scientists understand? So my first encounter with Srimad Bhagavatam was from this Leela, the bewilderment of Brahma. And I too was very bewildered by this, but for a different reason. In London, in the very early days, they had not yet achieved any printing capacity. And later, they started to get Back to Godhead magazines from Los Angeles. They were printed in and shipped to England. But before this, there was no literature. And in need of some literature, they created a small Back to Godhead magazine. There was a company called Gestetner, and they were using a technology which was 100 years old but became very popular in the 60s and the 70s, and there was a process called mimeograph, or as Gestetner called it, cyclostyle, in which a wax paper was put in a typewriter, manual typewriter, and a story typed on it. Then this wax paper, where the keys had hit the wax, they had removed the wax, and this paper was put on a drum. And then by rotating the handles of the drum through ink, then pages could be duplicated. There were stencil duplicates. Just like in a simple stencil book for a receipt, there's a carbon paper, and you write, and the image, it was something like this. It was very, very primitive. It was before printing became popular. On the front cover of this magazine, there was a line drawing of Krishna. There was just, it was very, very simple, very crude. The pages were stapled together. And in this magazine, there was this story about the illusion of Brahma. And I was reading this, I was intrigued, I was trying to understand it, but unknown to me, one of the pages were missing and one of the pages were duplicated. So it was just about maybe 8 pages, this little magazine. And page 4 had been put in twice. Page 5 was missing. And then there was page 6. So I read that the boys were eating, about to take prasad. The cows had wandered away. Krishna says, I will go and get the cows. He couldn't get the cows because Brahma had stolen them. Then again the page was repeated that Krishna says, I'll go and find the cows. He couldn't find the cows because Brahma had stolen them. Then on the next page, on page 6, Brahma, he paid his obeisances and he walked away. And I was scratching my head trying to understand what was the logic in this, what was the reasoning, what was it. I couldn't understand it. It was an incomplete story. It hadn't been designed to baffle me, but the particular magazine that I got had 8 pages, but page 6 was missing and page 5 was duplicated. So I thought, wow, this is really beyond my understanding. I'll never be able to understand Vedanta or understand. I thought it was some kind of Zen thing that you weren't supposed to understand it, and enlightenment would suddenly come when you heard the sound of one hand clapping, or it was a great mystery to me. So I too had been in illusion by this Leela for a very different reason. But it's only by grace, it's only by the mercy of the acharyas that we can come to an understanding, a proper understanding, a healthy understanding of Krishna's Leela. Only by the grace of the acharyas can this be achieved. Jiva Goswami, he concluded that for Kali Yuga, the most efficient, the most effective means of understanding our true identity as eternal servants of Krishna, the only way that the most efficient way to achieve this is through the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. However, he states that more important than this most important thing is the association of the Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada, he did a wonderful thing, and that he set up temples and set up communities of Vaishnavas so that we can associate with each other, so that we can. He said one time, he said, it's best to eat alone. He said, by eating alone, one can meditate on Krishna manifest as prasadam. He said, it's best for two people to discuss. Two people can have a meaningful discussion and arrive at a conclusion. He said, for walking, he said, 3 is the best number. And the person who lags behind, he's obliged to keep up with the other two. But he said, for spiritual life, the most number possible, this is the best number. So we have a wonderful situation here in Vrindavan, and that there are so many aspiring Vaishnavas within our ISKCON community that we can take advantage of each other's association. We can see different qualities manifesting in different people, and we can aspire also to cultivate these qualities. There have always been historically communities of devotees and Vaishnav communities where people would be drawn and gathered together and live together. Today is the disappearance day of Sri Ramchandra Kaviraj. He was a very important devotee within the Vaishnav community of his time. His father was Chitranjeeva Sen, and he was born in Saranjani on the banks of the Ganges in Bengal. His father died when he was young, and he went to live with his maternal grandparents. By his biography, we can get a glimpse of his greatness, of what a great personality he was, and in such favorable circumstances that he found himself. His grandfather's guru was Nara Hari Sarkar. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 10, chapter 10, verse 78, it says that Narihari Sarkar, he was the 40th branch of the Chaitanya tree. And the Gaur Ganadesha Deepika, verse 117, it says Narihari Sarkar was Madhumati, a very close, intimate friend of Sri Radharani. His grandfather's godbrother was Lochan Das Thakur, who composed Chaitanya Mangal. Jiva Goswami conferred on Ramachandra the title of Kaviraj. Kaviraj means a great poet, because the Vaishnav community very much enjoyed how he put in verse the sentiments of Lord Chaitanya that Lord Chaitanya had for Radha and Krishna. And his younger brother Gopal was also a great Kaviraj. Ramachandra and Narottam Das Thakur were both disciples of Srinivasacharya. In the Bhakti Ratnakara 1, verse 270, it says, not in any way were they different, Ramachandra and Narottam Das, because they had such near identical qualities. Narottam Das Thakur, he stated that Ramachandra Kaviraj was his favorite devotee. For preaching, he loved to preach with him, and he was his favorite Krishna conscious association. So we can understand what a magnanimous character Ramachandra Thakur Kaviraj was. Narottam Das Thakur, he composed the song that we sing every moment, that Ishwar Prabhu sung so nicely today, Sri Guru Charana Padma. This composition has 10 verses, and 4 of these verses are sung in the ISKCON temples to glorify Srila Prabhupada. But there are 10 of these verses. Narottam Das Thakur, he composed many, many, many songs, hundreds and hundreds of songs. And in many of these songs, he glorifies his guru, Srinivasacharya. In one of the songs glorifying his spiritual master, Srinivasacharya, he sings, Dayakara Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivas Ramachandra Sangamete Narottama Das, while begging his spiritual master for mercy so that he can understand his nature and the pastimes of Radha Krishna fully. In this song, he begs his spiritual master, you please give me the association of Ramachandra. Occasionally, in the annual Vyasa Pooja, a devotee may mention one of his god brothers. But it's unusual within that petition to the spiritual master, one asks that the spiritual master arrange that he get the association of a god brother. Such was the glory, such was the potency, such was the magnificence of Ramachandra Kaviraj. He wrote several books. Smarana Kamatkara, Smarana Darpana, Siddhanta Chandrika, and Srinivas Acharyavara Jivanacharita, in which he expresses gratitude to his spiritual master Srinivas Acharya. Gratitude to the entire parampara. Initially, one is grateful to one's guru, to one's physical, the physical presence of one's guru. Later, one may come to understand that it's the guru's words that are more beneficial. And later, one may come to understand that the entire parampara, the entire acharyas of the parampara, have made great contributions to which we can avail ourselves. Today is also the appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. In the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, verse 184, it explains that he is Ananga Manjari. Lord Chaitanya, as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, to accept Gopal Bhatta as their younger brother. And this is interesting because Radharani's chief manjari is Lalita, and Lalita's foremost shakya was Rupa Manjari, who is Rupa Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami is Rati Manjari. And they are both senior to Gopal Bhatta, who was Ananga Manjari. And also, chronologically, they were older in age. So he was the younger devotee, and he was also younger and junior in terms of rasa. Sanatana Goswami, he compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which has vows and rituals and philosophy of the Gaudiya lifestyle. And he put this in the name of Gopal Bhatta, who did some editing on the book. Rupa Goswami directed him to do service at the Radharaman temple, and Gopal Bhatta, whilst he was in Nepal on the Kali Gandaki River, he got a shalagram. Later, a rich person gave so many deity paraphernalia, so many dresses, so much jewelry. So Gopal Bhatta was thinking, I have the shalagram, but if Krishna had a form, then I could utilize these different paraphernalia nicely. So the next morning when he awoke, the shalagram had assumed the form of Radharaman. And that is the Radharaman which is there today in the temple which is worshipped. There is no Radharani there, but Radharani is signified by a silver crown which is beside the Radharaman deity. That signifies Radharani. Every year there's an annual festival in the Radharaman temple in which the deity is publicly bathed and people can witness the bathing. That's on the anniversary of the manifestation of the deity. Throughout Vrindavan there are many, many temples and many, many programs and many, many ceremonies. And often devotees, they go to these different programs to avail themselves of the darshan and to imbibe the mood and so on and so on. One time Srila Prabhupada, he came into the temple in the evening to give Bhagavad Gita class. There weren't many devotees. He said, where are the devotees? He said, oh Srila Prabhupada, mostly they've gone to one temple. There is a swing festival, a flower swing, Phool Bungal. It's a flower house with a swing. They have gone there to see the darshan. And Prabhupada, he famously said, you won't find Krishna loitering in Loi Bazaar. He liked the devotees to stay and to participate in our own programs. Gopal Bhatta's Samadhi is behind the Radharaman temple in the grounds there. Jiva Goswami, who wrote the Satsandarbhas, in the introduction and in the introduction to each of the separate Sandarbhas, he says that this research and the manuscripts were made by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he is simply formulating them, putting them in some chronological order, but he attributes the authorship of the Sandarbhas to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami also wrote a commentary on Krishna Das, on Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita. This is very esoteric, it's very intimate about the Leela Radhan Krishna, and Gopal Bhatta, he wrote a commentary on this. He also wrote a book called Sad Kriya Saradipika. And in this, there is an outline of the 10 samskars which householders, couples should engage in. And also, there's an explanation of how a person should take to the renounced order of life. Srinivasacharya, he composed the Sat Goswami Astika. He composed 8 verses glorifying all of the 6 Goswamis. Srinivas is a direct disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But when he composed the Astika and he named the 6 Goswamis, he mentions his own spiritual master last. So, while chronologically he was the younger, still he was instructed by Gopal Bhatta Goswami that you should praise all of the other Goswamis before me. Similarly, when Krishna Das Kaviraj went to Gopal Bhatta Goswami for blessings so that he could compile Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave his blessings that he could compile it nicely on the condition that he did not mention him. He said, don't mention me, I don't want to mention. He is in fact mentioned twice, but there's just a mention of his name. No Leela or pastimes or none of his... He said he was very, very, very humble. Although he was very prominent, Lord Jiva Goswami named him a Kaviraj. They just loved to listen to his poetry. Still, he took a very, very humble position. The verse the sad Goswami Astika, Srila Prabhupada would sing this, and there's recordings. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tribhuvane Manyo Sharang Yakaro Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajanan Mandena Mataliko Bande Rupa Sanatana Ragujago Sri Jiva Gopalago. There's 8 verses, and that's verse 2. The translation of English is, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the 6 Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are all very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. They are honored all over the 3 worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. There's 8 different verses. That was the second one. Number 7 is, these Goswamis, who were sometimes on the bank of Radhakund Lake, or on the shores of Yamuna, or sometimes at Vamsivat. There they appear just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their body, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. It's 9 o'clock. It's time to end. I want to say one final thing. Srila Prabhupada, he had great respect for the sevaks at the Radharaman temple. And when we Western people came here, he instructed Jamuna, the famous Jamuna Devi, that she should learn deity worship from the Radharaman temple Goswamis. And they taught her very nicely. She learned how to cook. She made a wonderful cookbook. She was the person who went to Jaipur to get the deities. She bought that. She had an identical set of brass deities, identical to the small deities. She had 2 sets made. Those were for her own personal worship. So she, as a person who apparently knew nothing about Radha Krishna Seva, came to Vrindavan and slowly began to assimilate what was the nature of deity worship from the pujaris in the Radharaman temple. After a short time, we opened the temple. 1975 it was opened. And one of the devotees who engaged for several years in dressing the deities, in supervising their clothing, so many things, was a devotee called Vishvadevi. She's a French national. And she had a daughter called Krishnambara. And Krishnambara followed in her mother's footsteps, and she was very interested in serving the deities. She holds a full-time post in Juhu. And in Juhu, she is the person who's in charge of all the deity clothing, all of the Sringar. She organizes the festival being decorated and so on and so on. A few years ago, some of the Radharaman Goswami family, they visited the Juhu temple, and they were just absolutely amazed at the beauty and the grace and the of the dresses that were made for the deities. They thought, these are absolutely amazing. We have never seen anything like this. who has made these dresses? So they were introduced to this Western girl, Krishnambara, and she said, well, I have made them. And they petitioned her. They said, please, these are so beautiful, we cannot believe. Will you please prepare something for Radharaman? And she said, yes, if you want. So she told her mom, she said, oh, mom, I'm so excited. I got such a big compliment today that the pujaris from the Radharaman temple, they complimented me on my service and the quality of the dresses and so on. And they asked if I could make something. So her mother said, okay, because she was a pujari here for so much. She said, we should do something special. So she went to a fabric store in London. This is a very exclusive fabric store which the members of the aristocracy use. It's the most expensive fabric store in the whole of London. And it has the most exclusive limited edition fabrics that very, very rich people use for their castles and for their manor houses and for their... So she had been there a few times, so she went in. The person who was there, he was very business-minded from a certain community. He was, you know, he just very, very... Every last inch he was measuring and charging you for the extra inch and so on and so on. Of course, it was expensive fabric. And she saw one piece of lace. It was a piece that he had received as a sample, and it was such exclusive lace. She thought, oh my goodness, that would be perfect for Radharaman. I wonder, could I get... And so she said to the person, who was very, very money conscious, very, very very tight, very businesslike, very, very abrasive in dealing, and she said to him, she said, oh, this piece of cloth, how much is it? He said, oh, just take it, you can... And she could not believe, because this man, he doesn't give away a drawing pin. He was just, oh my God, he said, take it, take it. So she told her daughter, I have this piece of cloth. She got the cloth over. They made this dress for Radharaman. And when they saw the dress and the community, the family, they thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Immediately they contacted her. They said, please, we know you're busy. Can you make two more dresses for us? So, just in one generation, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, the descendants of the pujaris of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they have asked this young ISKCON devotee, will she please give service for the deities, because it was the most amazing thing they'd seen. So we can understand that Srila Prabhupada has given us so much mercy, so much grace, and has made these communities of devotees in which together we can inspire each other to progress in Krishna consciousness, and there is nothing that we are lacking. The only limiting factor is this bewilderment that we are experiencing that prevents us from understanding our true nature and the relationship of our true nature as eternal servants of Krishna, because we are attached to enjoying this material world. The senses are our jailers, our prison guards, which are preventing us going back home, back to Godhead. So let us make a determination that we will try to surrender to Krishna. The most effective way of doing this is by taking shelter of the Maha Mantra in order to serve Krishna, who comes in Kali Yuga as this very potent Maha Mantra. So with great humility, with great respect, with great gratitude for what Srila Prabhupada has given us, let us aspire to be fully surrendered devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.